Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. In his message titled, Our Job, Reverend David Williams tells us that we must do things with the grace that we have been given. We need to build up and make the world better, and give our gifts to everyone around us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. In a world that is filled with stress and with conflict, in a world that is filled with cynicism and apathy, it's easy to step away and choose to do nothing. You might feel tired, you might feel overwhelmed, you might feel like you have really nothing to offer, and really, what's the point? And from that spirit, we do nothing, and we say nothing, and we do not act to shift and change the world, or to care for the world, or to try to heal those things that are broken. That is not what Jesus asks of us. Jesus himself came and said, take up your cross and follow me. And that means we have to do and act, even though our spirits might say, no, 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 I'd rather just hide away. Let's admit now that sometimes we do have that feeling. Let's admit it in the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and merciful God, there are times and days where we just feel like we have nothing to offer. We're exhausted from work or school. We're frustrated. We're down. We feel depleted and anxious and weak. On those days, we wonder if there's anything at all we can contribute to the world. But as we doubt ourselves, we forget that few things are more precious to you than an offering made in a time of struggle. Remind us that even though we may feel like we have nothing to give, we are always able to offer up Christ's grace. In our trial, Lord, please reassure us of this. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Listen for the assurance of Christ's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. You can follow along on page 28 and 29 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's Word. Jesus said, for it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer, amen. Around this time of year, when I was in first grade, I remember my parents getting ready to go and vote. I remember it because they were talking about it a lot in the house, because my dad was a Republican and my mom was not. And there were a lot of conversations as Ford Carter lined up, which I faintly remember. They were talking, and voices were not raised overly, but there were conversations happening. And I remember that they took me not to my elementary school, which was not fair, but to the elementary school on the other end of our street, where for some reason, even though it was closer, we did not go, something to do with districting, and they took me in with them to vote. And I remember them doing that while I was little. And so I remember the first time I ever got to do that myself, which was Reagan Dukakis, if I remember. Yeah, that was right, not Mondale, Dukakis. And I rode back from college to vote. And that was very, very cold, because it was November and I was on my first motorcycle, and it was cold on the ride up. But it was worth it, and it was a thing I did because I had been told and taught and shown that that was just a duty. It was a thing you had to do. And so when we had little ones, our guys went with us to vote whenever the time came for it to happen. And it was fun because when they were little, little ones like to push the buttons. You say, no, not that one. Push the other one. But you show them that that is a responsibility. It's just a thing you have to do. It's part of your commitment. It's part of what brings value to a place. It's a duty. It is not a thing you do whether you want to, whether you don't. If I don't want to do it, I'm just going to set it aside. I was always taught this is a thing you have to do. This is the whole reason that this particular country exists. It's a reason that people are free. It's your response to a free republic in which you are blessed to live and able to speak openly and to worship as you please and to go where you want without fear, that that's essential. And you can't set it aside. You can't choose not to do it. I mean, and people do. They choose not to do it. They choose to be apathetic. They choose to be fearful. They choose not to choose that path. And I've always struggled with that. Because when something is a duty, sometimes it's a joy, and sometimes it's hard. It's like the duty you have to your kids when you're raising them. I mean, there are times it's a joy, and they are delightful, and they're these little sparkle creatures moving around the house, and you're amazed and wondered. You wonder at them. And there are other times where your wife is traveling, and you are working on the sermon, and it is the evening, and you've arranged with your parents to take care of the kids the next day, and you've got all this stuff that's happening, and one of them wanders into the room and says, "Daddy, I threw up." And you're like, "Ugh." And your duty is to clean them up, and to clean up the bedding, and to clean up their clothes all in one thing, and you don't care, it's just put it on hot and hope it gets clean. And call your parents. It's like, "We're going to need to arrange, and you can you come over?" And it's a duty that you do. It's something that you must do. It's something that's an obligation. That's just part of having that kid and having that relationship. And there are other duties that are important for you to remember. You know, like, remember to tell them you love them as often as you possibly can. And that's a joyous duty, and it's an easy duty on days when things have been smooth, but even on the days where maybe it's been a little tenser than you would like, or homework hasn't been done, or school hasn't been attended, you still make sure that that truth is known. Just part of your responsibility, the thing you have committed to, because you have that relationship. There are things we are obliged to do when we've committed to a particular path. And that we struggle with that. We, you know, that makes me not free. You know, I should be able to do whatever I will. No, if you want things to work, if you want relationships to be healthy, there are things you must do if that is to be real. And we sort of get that, which helps as we approach Jesus through the lens of the Gospel of Matthew this morning, where Jesus conveys this parable about what our responsibility to the gospel is. And it is just a really harsh parable. It's one of those that's so much rougher than we would prefer. You know, because Jesus, meek and mild, little lambs and butterflies and children and all that happy stuff. And here, it really, there's not a lot of that in this parable. It's Jesus laying down what is expected and doing so through the lens of a tale that would have been familiar to those who were listening to it. Hear a story of a property holder who has three slaves, three people charged with maintaining certain portions of that property holder's household. And in the Greco-Roman world and in the Jewish world, that would be a standard operating approach for someone who owned property, who owned a lot. They didn't manage their affairs. They had other people do it for them. And so we hear that they are heading off on a journey. The household still needs to be continued. Business still needs to be conducted. And so people are assigned particular tasks. And each given according to their ability. And he travels and comes back and encounters each of these three souls. And the first who got the most has gone out and doubled it. And that's good. 100% return. You gotta like that. And the second has done the same. Gone out, invested, brought the five talents back with five more. Which leaves us with the third guy, the one who didn't want to risk anything, the one who was unwilling to go out and risk that loss. And he says, look, you gave me this. I'm giving you exactly what you gave me back, nothing more and nothing less. And the response is harsh. It's rough. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would receive what was my own with interest. And I sort of want the guy to say, do you know what the bank's giving now? I mean, that's like, I mean, that's less than 1%. Are you sure? But the businessman, this owner, comes back and it's just harshness. Take away what he has. Those who have more will be given. And then, of course, it ends with outer darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth, which is just hard. This is a hard story to hear, especially when your investments are as conservative as mine are. I am really, really risk averse when it comes to finances, and I feel like there's one missing here, you know, like the one he gave 2.5 talents and who comes back to the master with a, well, you know, Bitcoin was doing really well. And here's your half talent in Bitcoin. I'm sure it'll go up. I feel it's missing the guy who goes out, risks, and fails. I'm like, Jesus, could you give me that guy as a little encouragement? What happens to that guy? Because I know I would be that guy, or I think I would be that guy. It's challenging, but, you know, it's not meant to be a story about your investment portfolio. It's meant to be a story about how you use the gift of the gospel you have been given. It's a story about how you use the gift of the kingdom that you have been given. And that makes it different. When you have been blessed with something, when you've been blessed with something that if shared can redouble and redouble, if you don't use it, you're misusing it. If you don't offer it up to the world, you're not doing with it what is meant to be done. It's about the stewardship of a blessing. And when you receive a blessing, when you're given a gift, when you're given something, you have a duty to use it in the right way. Just as when we are given the gift of freedom and given the gift of participating in a free and open society, we have duties and responsibilities towards it. Being informed, I mean, really informed, not the thing you saw on Facebook a couple of days ago, which if you sourced it a little bit, you'd find that Vladimir approves. You want really to be informed, engaged, respectful, and participate in the processes that so many generations of Americans died to preserve for us. That's what you owe that. And when you have a message from Jesus, a gospel message of grace and promise, there are obligations there too. And I know we hate the idea of obligations, but if we've been given a good thing, we have to show stewardship over it. And that in large part is what we're going to be looking at over the course of this next month. Because we've been blessed with the gospel and a community that lives that out. We've been blessed with a place and a fellowship that we are stewards over. How can we best care for that? And the best way to care for it is not to hide it, is to support it, is to sustain it, but also to do things that help magnify what God is working here in this humble place. We do that by sharing, we do that by welcome, and we do that especially by acknowledging the goodness and sweetness of what we have to share with our neighbors. And so to that end, over the course of this next month, there are going to be these little yellow cards. As we get closer to the end of the month, it's stewardship season. So as we get closer to the end of the month, there'll be another card in there to calculate other things. But the primary piece we need to focus on are the gifts, graces, and blessings of this community, the things that we have to offer. Not to hide away, not to bury under a rock, but to share with the world. And so what we've done, and we're going to get to that a little more, you'll notice you have these. And if you've written prayers on them, that's fine. It's just fine. But over the course of the next few weeks, these will be available, and we'll be making a point of calling it out. And what we're asking you to write on that, you see up here, Nancy, thanks Nancy, has pulled together with, along with John, this picture. And I don't know if you recognize the building at the top there. It's familiar. What we want to do is to create a path that leads to this place. And the path that leads to this place are the blessings that we find here. Blessings of community, blessings of spirit, blessings of song, blessings of worship, blessings of mutual care, blessings of service. And the place for those blessings that we've been given stewardship over is not to take them all and to stack them up neatly beside that little building, and they would not fit. They would not. They should be the path leading in. They should be out, present, and shared in community. Because that's their purpose. The purpose of the gifts and graces God gives us in fellowship aren't just for us, although we have them and we're gifted with them, but they're meant to be shared and offered up. An appropriate stewardship of the gifts of a gracious community of neighbors is letting other people know that this way of being exists and is real and has much to offer. So what I'm going to ask to do, there are a couple samples there. What is it that is the blessing that resonates most with you? And that may change week to week, so we're going to do this multiple weeks. Take that, and there should be Sharpies and these available, and write down one or two words, and we're going to create that road that leads to the church, and the fact that it's a yellow brick road is just a bonus. It's a bonus. It'll help us remember what we're doing. So take a couple of moments as the service progresses, write that down, and we will take that up with the offering, and then they'll get put there. And if by happenstance we end up with more, then we'll just extend that road out, which is not a bad thing, because it's a reminder. We have a duty to express what God has given us into the world. It's part of our stewardship over this place, part of what we should share with others. And as harsh as this story sometimes reads, its purpose is grace. Its purpose is to say, if something is really important, don't fail to share it with those that matter, because that's what builds up God's kingdom and purpose in the world. That's the task that lies before all of us. Let's seek, all of us, to embrace it, you and me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
The sort of dual reminders that play in a constructive tension with the passage today. On the one hand, we are told we have things that we must do. There are actions we must take with the grace we have been given. But then we're also reminded constantly that that is a grace that has been given us. That we have blessings that we receive that we didn't make, that are not of us, that come from Christ's goodness and the blessings of community. And so what I would ask as we step out into that world today is remember that there are things we can do to build up and make the world whole. That there are duties expected of us. Duties to nation. So y'all vote. Do it. It's important. But deeper still, duties to the kingdom of God, which in Christ we participate. And those duties, first and foremost, are to be of service to neighbor, to care for those around us, and to, as stewards of that promise, share that promise unafraid in the world. And it is hard to go out into the world and be unafraid sometimes. A lot lately. To be fearful that a word of grace will be heard wrong, so you don't share it. To be fearful that an invitation won't be accepted and then you'll feel bad. There are all sorts of different ways that we allow fear to have us hiding that gift away. And Jesus chose one of his more challenging stories to remind us that we are not meant to do that. That we have a duty to share the grace and goodness we've been given. So as you step out into a world and into a nation that is a little tense right now, remember to share that grace with those around you, with everyone around you. And to speak words of what it looks like when community cares for all within it and for everyone outside. Where there are no others, there are just people, children of God, to be cared for. Let's try to hold on to that goodness and then share it as we go out into a world that needs that. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.